welcome to our premier edition of Disruptive Healthcare. I'm Lee Cantor, and I'm joined in the studio with Mr. Stone Payton. Welcome, Stone.
Good morning, sir.
Now, this exciting show for us, Disruptive Healthcare.
This is going to be a lot of fun, and what a great way to get it started off. Our very first guest for this entire series is Health IT Leadership Summit Chair Emeritus Patricia Williams. She's president with McKinsey Daniels and Associates, LLC. I can't tell you how excited I am to visit with her and her colleague this morning. I think we get this thing going.
Let's go.
All right. Welcome to the show, Pat.
Glad to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, we are delighted to have you. I know we're going to get a chance to talk a lot about many of the details, but let's get kind of a quick overview about this summit. What are we out there trying to accomplish? What's this thing all about?
Let me give you a bit of history of how we got started.
Yeah.
Back in March of 2010, the Georgia Department of Economic Development, the Metro Atlanta Chamber, and TAG Health came together to say, let's join forces and see what we can do to build the economy through the health IT sector. And at that time, we were looking at how many companies do we have? And I was hoping for, you know, we'd find 100 companies. And today we have over 250 companies identified. So we came together in March. We sort of put our heads together and found some real smart folks like my colleague sitting here with me, Wayne Myers. And we developed a strategy. And in November of 2010, we had our very first HIT Leadership Summit. At the Fox, we had over 500 people attend. So from March till November, we did a lot of work.
Now, this first summit, like, who was involved in that? Was it just private business? Was it the government? Like, who were there?
Everybody.
Who was anybody?
Everybody. We had, at that summit, we had a focus. If you remember back in 2010, the economy was really struggling.
Sure.
People were losing their jobs.
Right.
And we have more jobs in the Metro Atlanta area with health IT than we can fill. We've got
really?
More openings. We don't have people qualified to fill those jobs. But it was our belief that there are people out there who just don't know about the industry who really are qualified. So the theme for the summit that year basically was jobs, jobs, jobs.
Uh-huh.
And it's still our theme because we still have employed in Georgia more than 28,000 people now in health IT jobs. And we're growing. The projected growth rate is like 40%. So
what all is encompassed in healthcare IT? Can you describe some jobs, some careers that
maybe some
might
companies
be
that are leading?
Yeah.
Well, when I talk to high school students about health IT, they look at me like, what in the world are you talking
well,
about?
Well, they know what a doctor is, right?
Their eyes glaze over. And so I start asking them, and they think MRI machines. And I said, you're absolutely right. And somebody else may say, and this is a popular one because you're hearing so much about it now, electronic medical records, which we're all will be part
of. So kids are aware of that?
Yes, they actually are.
Wow, that's impressive.
This is high school students, and they're aware of it. And so electronic medical records, MRI machines. But really, health information technology encompasses both the software and the hardware,
mm-hmm.
And all of the people who developed that enable the delivery of healthcare. It can be anything from mobile health. It's a brand new industry. The projected growth rate in that is like 30% over the next years.
Now, mobile meaning tablets or mobile meaning telephone, your cell phone?
Mobile, and Wayne may want to chime in with some of this. Mobile health means that your smartphone is now considered and can be considered a medical device because
how cool is that?
Because your physicians can actually use apps on that phone to understand data that's going back at the hospital and their offices and so forth. So really cool in the telecommunications industry that where we are so close and partners there with mobile health. It can you think about medical devices as being a separate industry, but it's really not because so many medical devices are dependent upon technology. So it's really technology applications within the healthcare field, within healthcare delivery and processes.
So let's get your buddy Wayne involved in this conversation. Yeah. We have with us Wayne Myers, COO with Karma LLC, but he's also the 2012 Health IT Leadership Summit Chair. No emeritus, not yet, man.
No.
You'll learn it one day, right?
I can only hope.
Welcome to the show, man.
Thank you. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, we're delighted to have you. So what in the world compelled you to take on this chairmanship? What were you thinking?
Well, Pat's very convincing, so it's very difficult to say no to her, and she has a lot of energy and passion for health IT. And so, so I think that's part of it. And really, Pat was describing it before. I was there. My work with TAG Health, the Technology Association of Georgia, I'm on the health board as well. And so we were looking for ways to get more people involved and to really raise the level of visibility of health IT in Georgia, especially, and really across the nation.
Now, I've heard that Georgia is considered the capital of healthcare IT in the country.
Of course, we heard that from Pat. So.
Right. Now, is that something, did you see that as that's why you came here to Atlanta to build companies? Or is it something that just kind of randomly happened? And like, what made it bubble up to be that capital?
Well, I think if you look at any cluster or any industry, there was always some seeds that helped
right.
it grow. So in Atlanta, it was really the old HBOC, which eventually became McKesson. So
right.
if you start looking at connections of companies that are here and some of a good number of the couple of hundred that Pat was talking about, you'll see direct connections from individuals that may have left those organizations over time, spawned their own, became entrepreneurs, spawned their own organizations, and have done very well for themselves in their own right.
Now, so that was a private company that grew up, became very large, was purchased by another big company, and then their offspring kind of spawned other companies that were related to it. So that's how clusters happen in all things, I would imagine. But was there anything happening here in Atlanta? Was it the airport, the hospitals here, the colleges? Did all of that contribute as well?
Yeah, so we definitely, as we looked at the summit and we're bringing together the stakeholders, that point is exactly what we were trying to do, is leverage the assets of Atlanta. So some of the things, if you talk to the Georgia Department of Economic Development and the Metro Atlanta Chamber, also hosts of the event, they will tell you that the types of things you're talking about, the fact that we have a great education system in terms of Georgia Tech and Georgia and some of the other technical colleges in the area, the fact that we've got an airport that's very easy to get in and out of, that you can go direct to most
right.
places across the country, and then the workforce, those are all very key components to a thriving cluster. So part of our efforts, and when Pat and I were discussing about where to go, with these kinds of activities, it really was about trying to bring together and network some of those organizations and the stakeholders, because it's very important. And then you would, of course, bring in the healthcare organizations that are here in Atlanta as well, and some premier organizations as such.
Now, the summit, can you share a little bit about what happens at the summit?
Well, the night before the summit is a big happening. It's the VIP reception down at the Metro Atlanta Chamber's rooftop.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That is a by invitation only event. Our sponsors are invited, of mm-hmm. course, and their guests. But we also have some of the health IT leaders in the community and the state attending that event. So that's a big and very elegant event that we have at the chamber.
And that's a networking mixer. You're appreciating the people that are involved.
It's a networking mixer. We appreciate the people that are involved. It's really an opportunity for everybody to get together and meet their peers in health IT in this community in a much more relaxed form.
Mm-hmm.
Then the summit then is very very structured. We have a morning program, then we have breakout modules in the afternoon that address different topics, key topics that we believe will be of interest to the community. I really need to make this point, though. When, you know, summits, by very definition, is calling together multiple people. And
right.
that's the kind of the idea. And one of the things that that I was very passionate about and still am very passionate about is that it's great to have a summit and everybody get together and have a big event. But the big question is, so what? You know, what good is it?
We right, can, like, are there actionable things
yeah,
that happen at the
so,
end of this?
Yes, so well, at the very first summit, when I had the opportunity to open the summit, I said, this is about action. We're coming together, not just to come together to meet each other and to hear some interesting facts, but it's to actually develop an action plan.
Uh-huh.
And we had three questions to ask at that very first summit is, where are we? And we know where we are. We're now the capital of health information technology. We hope to extend our growth not just for Georgia. We started looking at Georgia, and then we said, wow, we're the national capital. And now we're looking at global expansion and mm-hmm. a global focus beyond our borders. So where are we? Then where do we want to go? And I think I just answered that. We want to build this. We want to grow this industry. We want to sustain it. We want to support the companies that are here and to develop new companies through innovation and entrepreneurship. And then how do we get there? And that's the big question that we had to ask. And it was not about us, the leaders, saying how do we get there. It was about the audience saying how do we get there. And it was throughout the day and throughout the different events and through the feedback through the years that we were able to really come through with the answers to those questions.
So there's got to be so much to talk about when it comes to health IT. How do you even begin to decide what handful of key topics you're going to address this one day with this group? Because you've got to achieve some degree of focus. How did you guys go about deciding what to talk about?
Yeah, so this year, each year we ask that exact question and try to figure out where we want to go with it. And this year we looked at the upcoming election, as we were planning it, now that
there's
the past election, right?
And
what was going to happen with the healthcare reform after the election. So that was one of the key points, is we were looking to the future. And so part of it is, as you do strategic planning kinds of activities, you always try to envision what the future is going to look like, where are you today, and identify the gap, and then decide how you're going to get there. And so that was part of it. So as we were looking and developing this summit, and you'll see within the actual panels and the speakers for that day, so folks can go to www.healthitleadershipsummit.org to get all of the details. I'll give a couple of highlights. But as we were looking at the planning for the December 4th event, we wanted to bring together a panel of chief information officers, chief executive officers, some leaders in the healthcare industry here in the area, and have them talk about what they see as the future. So they've done their planning for their organizations. They've had their consultants and others, executives in their organization, looking at what they need to do to change. So we wanted to bring some of them together and make sure that those folks would be sharing that kind of insight with our attendees. And so once they've determined some ideas as to where this industry might be headed, then we also brought in some additional panelists and some additional executives from different organizations to talk about how are you going to get there. So how are you going to transform? What does healthcare need to look like going forward? And then focus on some innovation. So we have at a core healthcare information technology, and so we very much believe that technology will help healthcare transform to what it needs to be to really address some of those future issues. So if you're looking at the challenges of an aging population, if you're looking at the near epidemic problems with obesity and diabetes, these are real major problems that we're going to have to address, regardless of how you feel about healthcare reform and whether what's on the books now is the right solution or not. We have to do something as a nation.
Now, you had mentioned that you have identified 250 healthcare mm-hmm. IT companies or companies involved in healthcare. How many employees do they have?
Well, we have, according to the latest numbers that we have over 28,000 employees in Georgia.
Wow.
And HIT.
And in your mind, those are all people that should be attending this summit?
And some of them should be. Hopefully,
most of them
we
are.
We cap it up at about 700 people.
But you want the people that are involved in health, those are the people who would be attending the summit, right?
Yes, yes.
This is a more collaborative group of people, I think, than some professions, though. Am I reading that right? Are healthcare people a little quicker to share what they're learning, share what they think the future is like, or no? It's a tight no. I'm getting a no nod.
Because
over
I would think
that.
Like healthcare is not just a business. There's people factor and emotions and the caring element and people wanting to help other people.
When I've been in healthcare technology, I was with AT&T and worked in the healthcare information technology sector of that. And then after some period of time, I re-entered the market in health and healthcare and health information technology back in 2005, mm-hmm. April 2005. And I had a mentor back during those years who'd said to me, Pat, just do it. And we were I was wanting to pull together different people from different sectors to have a, right. a meeting. So he and I sat at Starbucks. And I said, we've got all these people coming, and it was a select group of about 12 people. What are we going to talk about? And we were sitting there at Starbucks figuring out, what are we going to talk about? So we came up with some different things. And one of the items on the agenda that we were going to say was, can you imagine in the future walking into a Walmart, swiping your health card, going and having your MRI, go shopping at Walmart for your food and groceries, and when you're done, your MRI, by the way, has been read, and you have the report already. And while we were sitting in that meeting, I thought that we were going to be lynched because people said, this is right. not, this That's is not unethical. How... This can't be right. done. It can be done today, actually. It's not in Walmart necessarily, but the technology is there to do it. But what I discovered in that meeting, to my surprise, was that it was healthcare. It was one of the most siloed industries, huh. and Wayne is shaking his head mm-hmm. yes over here. Healthcare is one of the most siloed industries because there were people there, there were multiple segments there, and they were all doing the same thing. And these were all leaders, and they looked at each other in that meeting and said, you're doing that? I didn't know you were doing that. We're doing that. So nobody really was telling the other. They weren't talking. That is changing.
Great.
And that is changing, I think, a lot of because of what is happening in this health information technology market. That may not be changing with the different healthcare systems in the actual delivery. I'm sure there's a lot of segmentation still there. But in terms of health IT, that was the whole effort behind this, was to unite and bring us all together.
And you're seeing progress on that front?
Yes. With 700 people probably coming to the summit.
It's a good start.
Yeah,
and I'd like to add in that part of the progress is because of the necessity and really the transformation of healthcare that I was alluding to earlier. So people are very familiar with going to a doctor, then going to a specialist, then maybe going to the hospital, and everything becomes very episodic. And so in the paper-based world, your records don't move easily from one to another. And so through the High-Tech Act, and there was a lot of funding that came through and some incentives now and a stick eventually through Medicare that will that have promoted the adoption of electronic health records. And really the next major phase of that is once an organization has electronic access to your data, it's really sharing among organizations. So then you can go to competing organizations or other specialists outside of that network that is really required in order to be able to share your data. And so, you know, part of the benefits of that obviously are having some better care and ultimately and hopefully reduction in the number of times you're tested for the same things or, you know, running MRIs multiple times, lab tests, those types of things. So that's part of, you know, that transformation process and really the movement of the industry toward things like accountable care organizations that are looking broadly across your care as an individual.
Now, it sounds like a lot of this stuff sounds good and works really well, like in urban areas where there's a density of all of these resources. Is there any way to get that to trickle out to the rural areas?
And there, you've now hit the core of my passion with all of this. And the focus of our summit last year was reaching more people more efficiently with quality health care.
Uh-huh.
I look at the people in rural areas. One of my favorite hobbies is to drive through the back roads of Georgia or any state for that matter and just see the communities and see the people and go in and to the locals and see what's happening.
Do you eat a lot of boiled peanuts? Because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. I have the same hobby.
You do. I see the boiled peanuts. I'm not a boiled peanut fan, okay. But boy, do I love the barbecue places out there. So when I go through there and you see the town's drying up. The doctors are not going to those areas anymore. The hospitals are really struggling to keep their doors open.
Right.
And the hospital in some of these local communities may be the largest employer, aside from maybe the school system. And if the hospital doors close, you can just imagine what happens to that community. And in many places, those doors have closed. One of the most, gives me goosebumps when I start to tell you this, one of the most exciting things that is happening is that you just imagine this. You've got children. You have children in rural areas that really don't have access to quality health care, or maybe health care at all. One of these children, a child, will go to school, and they have a sore throat, they're not feeling well. Mom has to go to work, and Dad will have to go to work if they have jobs, and hopefully they do. They may not even have transportation to get them to a doctor.
Right.
So this is what's happening. Through technology and through telehealth and through some of the projects that we're working on, particularly with in conjunction with Georgia Partnership for Telehealth, school-based clinics are being established. And this is what happens. A child can go to school. They're not feeling well. They've got a sore throat. They've got an earache or whatever. They can see the school nurse. The school nurse, through telehealth, can make an appointment with a doctor. That doctor can be a local physician, or it can be a doctor in some remote area, whichever is partnership with them. And that child can be examined through the technology, through those instruments, the ear, whatever it's called, that they look
right.
in the ear and the stethoscope and all those other things. The doctors can actually see what's happening with that child.
Like with a webcam or video?
That's
incredible.
Wow.
And they can actually see what's happening with that child better than if they were sitting there with the child.
Right.
So then,
and then these rural places have access to the best of the best.
They have the best of the best.
Wow.
And then the technology, we haven't even talked about the pharmaceutical industry. So the child sees the doctor, is examined. Now, of course, all this is with the permission of the parent. The doctor then can e-prescribe the medication for that child. There's a partnership that goes on
right.
here. The pharmacy can deliver that medicine to the school. The child can have their first dose of medicine before they ever leave school. And then mom gets them, they've got the medicine to go home. If we didn't have, through technology, these children
that's
in these remote locations.
Changer.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
It is a total game changer. And that's just an example with children. We have, there's high-risk pregnancy telehealth centers out there that mm-hmm. they don't have access to gynecologists and obstetricians, those that need to see a cardiologist that they don't have a cardiologist in their local area. So it's technology is enabling more people to receive better healthcare.
And it's more efficient. They're seeing it it's integrated in their day. It's not they're not like when you were saying, like making it, you go to the doctor, you then go to one specialist, you're driving, you're making 10 stops to solve your problem.
So that's just a little bit,
wow.
a fraction
so
of what we're doing.
So is that something in theory, or is that actually being piloted and used?
It's happening now in Georgia.
Wow.
And in one of the towns that we have been able to successfully get this clinic up and going is in Jenkins County. And I don't know if any of you saw the NBC Dateline story, the town that jobs forgot. It was a town that things are really sort of drying up, and it was a manufacturing town and jobs weren't there.
Right.
So this little town has taken on health IT as an opportunity to really do something for that community, and they will be featured at the summit. So,
oh, wow. So they're going to tell the results and where they're at
they're
and how things
tell
are.
They're going to tell where they are, and
wow.
it's really quite a compelling story.
You got anything for high risk of pregnancy? I have a 15-year-old girl that's very cute. Put some energy in that.
I won't go there.
That's when you install the alarm system to keep them in the house, not
right.
keep others out.
That's right.
So you guys, I want to learn more about how you guys work together, because what a massive job. Putting this thing together must be. You obviously work very well together. Speak to that relationship a little bit, if you will.
Sure. Well, as I said before, the key is that no one says no to Pat. And so there's a very as part of the collaboration, really. So we're here representing a very large group of people, mm-hmm. including the Technology Association of Georgia Health Board and Board of Advisors, and then also folks from the Metro Atlanta Chamber and GDED as well at the state. And as part of that work, Pat had a great quote earlier where it's really just surrounding ourselves with some very good people. So I'm honored that as part of this work, we had folks focused on various aspects of the December 4th event. and really planning it. So each panel had its own chair, if you will, in order to make sure that we brought the best talent in order to do it. So many hands really helped, and Pat and I are just really carrying the torch, and sometimes have to make some decisions relative to it. But that's the day to day.
But it seems like you're trying to kind of break through these silos when you're having these different organizations kind of think about the greater good rather than their individual kind of mission. Is that
that is absolutely correct. And I can say we have broken through the silos. Mm-hmm. I was just at the Metro Chamber, the Bioscience Committee, and the growth that we have seen in Health IT and what they are doing to promote health information technology and what TAG is doing to promote health information technology. And I'll have to just say that it is not only these through, but now it has expanded out, because one of the areas that we have not touched on is that in order to really sustain our position as the nation's leader in health IT, we have to have a very highly qualified workforce. And we're looking to the future to do that. The Georgia Department of Education is working very diligently to develop, with the collaboration with business, and this is very exciting. We're pulling business in,
right,
to say what do you need in a curriculum for health IT in our secondary schools. And so the Department of Education, under the leadership of Phyllis Johnson, is working on that, developing that curriculum.
So that the companies are saying, I need these five skills, and then in the curriculum, they teach them those five skills, mm-hmm, so then those people can get a job.
And the Georgia Department of Education is really on to this track, and I'm excited to say it's not just them. It is also the Lieutenant Governor's office is now and very much involved in it, because they're very focused on career academies, and career academies really enhance the potential of students actually graduating from high school,
right,
and getting a job when they get out.
Because it's aligned with their passions
what they want to do.
Wow.
So guess where the next Health IT curriculum focus, and they're working,
wow,
with us to have a curriculum for
That's
Health
exciting.
IT.
That's exciting.
Outstanding.
So it's really expanding.
Now, it's one of those things that once you say, like, business is telling the school system that we need these kind of skills, and then they're, like, kind of creating curriculum to give them that kind of, it sounds like, after you say it out loud, isn't that something that they should have been doing for a long time? Like, you know?
We're pioneering.
I know,
pioneering.
It seems like common sense
in hindsight,
after you say it out loud.
But remember, health information technology and the technology in the healthcare system is really, given, if you look at the big picture, is young. It's just really getting,
right,
started. And that's one of the reasons that I'm going to say to you all and the listening audience here and also at the summit, it is so exciting, and I think it is both a privilege and an opportunity to be able to work in this field, because there are new jobs being created every day in it. And the exciting part is, if the job's not created, we have the opportunity to create it.
Right. It's like a blank sheet of paper.
It is like a blank sheet of paper. We have the opportunity to develop new things, and we need the smartest and the brightest and the most energetic. And so there's an opportunity both professionally and personally for all of these many people to get into a new field that is really just developing.
And the summit is a place where kind of everybody gets together.
We get together and figure out what do we have to do.
Right?
What's next?
Well, and you guys are going to give this thing legs. You're not going to stop on December the 5th. You've got the website. You've got these groups talking to each other. Talk a little bit about how you're going to sustain this effort, if you would, a little bit.
Yeah, so I think part of it is really getting the conversations, and so we've been doing that for the last couple of years, is bringing together the stakeholders and starting to break down those silos, as Pat described. And then as we go forward, we continue to do, under TAG Health, some of the every other month we'll have other sessions that are smaller, but that we still make sure we focus on some of these hot topics. So as things come out of D.C. or as other innovations and pilot projects like Pat was describing come to fruition, we certainly share that as part of the overall work. And then, Pat, you want to talk about IHIT a little bit?
Well, out of the summit, we formed a new 501c3. And it is the Institute for Health Information Technology. It was formed by the founders of the summit, the Metro Chamber Tech Health in the Georgia Department of Economic Development. And I had its projects, will take on projects that are dedicated to promote the growth that we've been talking about. One of the ones that is coming up is that we're launching a research project that will be targeted to industry, to our businesses, and to our providers to say specifically, how many jobs do you have open today in Atlanta? What are the specific skill sets that you need? What do we need to get our students ready for those jobs, our mm-hmm. current workers, so that we can be very, very focused in making sure that we've got a workforce ready to go for our companies. So IHID is promoting and funding that project. It's just one of the things.
And you mentioned there's tens of thousands of opportunities.
Oh, there are opportunities that exist now.
Right.
And they're going to exist. The exciting thing is if it's not there, as my mentor said, just go do it. You know, just go create it. It is there. Put your heads together, sit over at a Waffle House, cup of coffee like Wayne and I did a couple of years ago when we were working on this strategy, and take a napkin and just start creating. That's the way things grow.
And I do think that there's a fundamental shift on healthcare side. I remember going to visit hospitals 20, 25 years ago, and when you returned your rental car, they had better technology than the hospital I just visited. and unfortunately, in the last couple of decades, it hadn't come that far. And so really, a lot of the funds that came through the federal government through the HITECH Act were really promoting the implementation of these electronic health records. But as now we move into the healthcare reform over the next couple of years goes fully into effect, then you have the ability, because these organizations will be required and be financially accountable. So basically, the old reimbursement model was always the hindrance. You had to do things very, you know, a certain way in order to get paid the most amount of money, and it wasn't the most efficient way. So as that model changes, it allows more innovation. And so when Pat was talking previously about rural healthcare, or just reaching anyone with any, you know, even in the urban areas with any language barriers, those kinds of things, you can think about the mobile phones and the fact that these smartphones most people have now, and being able to have applications to reach folks in a way that wasn't previously possible, or frankly wasn't previously reimbursable, if you will. And so being able to give these organizations a financial incentive, again, to focus on the wellness and get some of those messages out to people in different ways is going to be a fundamental shift, and allow for more innovation and allow for more creative ways of doing things, such as Pat was describing with IHIT.
Well, it sounds like you guys are really impacting the state of Georgia from the rural areas, you know, to the urban areas. Is it spilling out beyond Georgia, or is it going through, you know, throughout the Southeast, some of the things that you're working on?
I think I would have to definitely say yes. We have not extended, as Robert Frost said, we have miles to go before we see
right.
We have not extended as far out.
Is there any interest from other states saying, hey, can we jump in on this?
Yes. I don't have enough time to elaborate on that fully. But what we're looking to do with some of these projects is that we are looking at Georgia, and Wayne and I have been working on this concept for years now, that we piloted in Georgia. We
right.
tested in Georgia, and then it can go anywhere.
Right.
For example, the telehealth part that
right.
I was telling you about. I mean, that
there are no boundaries.
But we are the place of innovation. We're
right.
the pool of innovation. I'll just have to tell you how this is another one that gives me goose pimples. Is I was in a career academy over the last few weeks, and I was visiting in their technology segment,
mm-hmm.
and there was one of the students there, and the guy was talking to me And I was telling him, you know, I really need an app. We're working on this project. It's about fitness and building healthy communities. And we want people to get more exercise, but we've got to get the kids engaged. And we want to do it through the smartphones and them actually recording real time. He said, what kind of app do you need? This is a high school student in a
wow.
career academy. He said, what do you need? Now, what do you want to accomplish? And I said, well, we want nutrition tied in. He said, oh, yes, you can do that. He said, tell me about it, and I'll work on it for you.
Wow.
In a high school technology class. Is that not the coolest
thing? The sky's the limit when that happens, right?
Yes.
All right. Well, one more time, if people wanted to take part in the summit, is the website again?
Yeah, it's December 4th. So on Tuesday, it's www.healthitleadershipsummit.org. And it's only $99 for the entire day, and that includes a breakfast, lunch, and a reception at the end. So it's a very, very good value and a lot of great information.
And you're going to learn a lot of stuff. There's a lot of great speakers, right? And there's a lot of education going on in that.
Yeah, so we've got a series of panels throughout the day, and we really focused on having leaders of organizations as part of those panels. So both healthcare, the health information technology vendors, and other state and academic leaders coming and showing their products and talking about the future. We also have a keynote speaker, Lee Ace from the Center for Social Media out of the Mayo Clinic. And so he is one of the leaders and pioneers around the use of social media within healthcare. And so you'll hear about that as well.
Good stuff. Well, thank you both for being part of the show. This is another episode of Disruptive Healthcare. We'll be here every week discussing what's happening in the world of healthcare here in Georgia. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next week.